coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest. Yeah, I agree.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending upon when you are listening to this. I am Pastor Floyd from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me is...
I'm Pastor Mark with Meadow Run Community Church at Ohio Powell.
And we have an interesting topic today that hopefully won't get kicked off the computer by AI, because we're going to talk about some of the dangers of AI, but AI in itself is not altogether dangerous. It's just, it's a tool or a resource, and the way we use it will determine its effectiveness. Hopefully we don't end up in, like, you know, a Terminator situation where it takes over the world. But before we even get to that, as always, we start with what we're preaching on. So, Mark, what are you preaching on Sunday?
I just started a new series last week on the fruit of the Spirit, and we are going to take each attribute of the fruit of the Spirit in the next 8 weeks or 9 weeks and talk about each one of those. So this week we're talking about the attribute of love.
And as usual, I get a lot of my ideas from you. That's a great idea. I might steal that one from you and do that as a series as well. That's a really good idea. I think I've done it as a Bible study. I haven't done it as, hey, here's the story on it where you can kind of really dig into it.
And I'm calling the whole series Becoming More Like Jesus, because you can't be like Jesus without the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. So we are still in the book of Acts. Last week we started, dug into Acts chapter 2, where God added to the church 3,000 people and they started living out, you know, community together and living out their faith. And this week we're going to be in Acts chapter 3 and 4, where we talk about the consequences of that, where, you know, they go heal people, get arrested and criticized and almost thrown in jail. So we're going to dig into that. Part of me wants to really, really, really dig into the need for people to be a part of the church and come to church. I know we've done multiple podcasts on it, and I still have people. I think I'm going to dig into that tonight as part of our Wednesday night Bible study, because we still have lots of people online that will comment, you don't need to be a part of the church, and we're two or more gathered. And I'm like, you guys don't read your Bible. You don't understand
that. Yeah.
But we're going to talk today about AI. And I had several people bring up a lot of some good comments about the use of AI. Some people were bringing up just, you know, hey, it's not as bad as you guys are making it. But let me start with this, because I saw a woman post this online. She did a video on it, and I commented on it. I did a video on it. Pastors using AI, not to research parts of their sermon, because, you know, everyone Google searches something. Oh, when was this done? When, you know, when was Daniel born? All that kind of thing. But basically going and saying, hey, ChatGPT or whatever AI they're using, generate a sermon on Genesis chapter 2. And then the AI generates a whole sermon. They take that and they present it to their congregation. What are your thoughts?
No. absolutely not. I think there's some pluses to using AI and some benefits. And I think there are some things that could go horribly wrong with using AI. Matter of fact, before we got started today, I did an AI search on how should pastors use AI, if at all. And AI came up with the answer. Pastors can use AI as a tool to save time on common tasks and to develop resources that support discipleship, allowing them to focus more on a personal interaction with their congregation. However, it's important that they maintain control over their work and not fully delegate the task to AI. That was AI's answer to using AI.
And it's shocking, but pastors will do the opposite and use it to generate whole sermons, which my thing was...
You leave out the Holy Spirit when you do that.
Exactly. I'm like, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to determine, here's what your people need to hear, which, I mean, we can both testify to, hey, we've got something ready, and the Holy Spirit either adds to it or takes whole chunks out because he's like, this is what I want for them. But you're removing that whole aspect. But one person did give me a little bit of pushback, and he said, what's the difference between... I don't think he quite understood what I was talking about, but he said, what's the difference between a pastor using AI and a pastor generating a sermon or sharing a sermon over a podcast or over TV, over radio? And he said, can't the Holy Spirit speak through the computer? And my thing was, well, there's a difference because in one, I said, if you're a pastor and you, via the Holy Spirit, write a sermon on Genesis chapter 2, and then you deliver it over a podcast or over TV or a live stream, sure, the Holy Spirit can use it to me or Mark or someone else who's listening to speak to us, but that's because the Holy Spirit, you and the Holy Spirit, collaborated on creating it. That's different than going to AI and saying, create this sermon. And then there was he works on AI, someone who chimed in with a comment and said, AI just generates scripted answers based on all the information it has. What would be the best scripted answer? I was like, yeah, so if a computer is just generating and picking without any external influence, it's not like someone saying, go pick this, make sure you stay on that, make sure you highlight this part of Genesis 2. The computer is just picking based on his database, then you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to pick. You're allowing a computer to pick. But there are still people who say, pastors who say, but in a crunch where you haven't prepared your sermon and, it's Saturday night, what are your thoughts on that?
That's no difference than when I was in seminary way back when, before computers were even invented or out there, taking someone else's sermon and just reading it word for word.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I mean, it's not the Holy Spirit working. If you are called to be a pastor, if you're called to preach, and you really are called by God, then there are no shortcuts that you can take to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And I think that's the problem we've talked about on this podcast before, is that there are too many preachers who are speakers and are not called to be preachers. They are just, this is the career path that they have chosen instead of being called and allowing the Holy Spirit to influence them.
Exactly. Wholeheartedly agree with that. Could not have said it better. Now let me ask you this though, because again, some pastors will push back and say it's a tool or a resource, so you can use it for research. You can use it for example, and I have a perfect example, generating questions for like Bible study.
Mm-hmm. I use it for that.
Yeah, I do too. However, I will go in and edit it and say, well, that's not so, because I need it to be me speaking.
Right.
But I will like, hey, give me 7 questions that people want to know about regarding the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And it might come up with a bunch of questions, and I might look and say, well, that's not really anything I've heard someone say, so I'll ignore that, or I wouldn't word it quite that way, so let me reword it or whatever.
Yeah. And I do the same thing. I mean, that's the way I look at it. There was a survey done in 2025. It was Lifeway Church put it, or Lifeway put it out, the Southern Baptist group. And they said in 2025, state of AI in the church survey, the most comprehensive study of its kind, covering 442 Protestant pastors across the United States, found that 64% of pastors who preach now use AI in their sermon preparation process. The number is significant from 43% in 2024. Among those using AI, 61% report using it weekly or daily, and 25% say they use it every single day. That's an interesting statistic, because if you're like me back when we didn't have AI and we didn't have Google and we didn't have all of that, what did we do? We sat down for hours with concordances, with all the different versions of the Bible, going through, spending, you know, 30 to 40 hours a week just looking up the context of what we're preaching on. And with Google, with AI, it's easier to cut that time in half, so that we have more time to spend with our families and with our church family than we do preparing for the service.
I will say this, though, that and it would be interesting to see how they quantified the use of AI, because for most people, that use, that daily use, is a Google search. What we normally would have typed in a Google search, now we just ask ChatGPT or ask Alexa or ask whatever device we have to say, look this up. One of the problems that I'm finding with that, though, is she heard me say her name and started, was that for me?
You asked Lexi.
Yeah. One of the problems, though, is that I didn't know this was the term for it, but a lot of AI sources have what they are called hallucinations. That's what they call it when it gets it wrong.
Yeah.
Some people will ask AI, what is the chemical makeup of this thing? And they'll give a response. Then the person will be like, wait, I thought it was of this thing. And the AI will be like, oh yeah, I was wrong. It is this thing.
And that's where we need to be careful. And that's where pastors need to be educated in the Bible.
Exactly.
I mean, there are way too many preachers in the pulpit today, and I'm going to get kickback, that are not Bible literate. They just do not know their Bible. If someone were to come up to ask them a question after church about what they preached on, they would say, let me get back to you, because they could not answer them right then and there.
And that's interesting, because it's not that they're coming up and saying, hey, let me ask you a question about the Bible. We don't have to have the Bible memorized and know everything about the Bible. But if they're asking, hey, you just said this, does that mean this? And they can't answer because they use, you know, a bunch of other AI resources to generate their sermon, and they have no biblical knowledge on what they just preached on, then they should not be in the pulpit. They should not be allowed to stand up there and share a sermon, because when you're sharing that sermon, you're preaching the Word of God, and when you're preaching the Word of God, you're proclaiming it as truth. And if someone comes and asks you, is that true? And you're like, I don't know. Then why did you stand up there and proclaim it? You shouldn't be in the pulpit. But I agree. This is why a lot of stuff, even when I will ask stuff like, hey, what was the, you know, date Daniel was reported to be born? Or what was the date that, you know, this book, Book of Ezekiel, was written? I will go and look in a bunch of other resources, because I don't trust that it's going to be right. And I don't want to stand up there and share something that I don't know is true and proclaim it to be true.
Exactly. Exactly. We had, you know, I told you before we started, I'm doing the Revelation Bible study again on Friday night. I had a guy ask me last week, we were talking about Smyrna and how, you know, the Lord says, do not fear. And a guy said, well, does that mean that fear comes from the Lord? And I said, no, fear doesn't come from the Lord. Because if you look in 2 Timothy, it says God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us, you know, and he said, okay, I agree with that. So you need to be able to answer questions when they're brought up.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you just look like somebody that doesn't know what he's talking about. And somebody that shouldn't be in the pulpit.
So now let me make a little bit of a twist or turn, still on topic, but a little bit off topic, because what about using AI in worship, music? Because there's a huge debate originally when it came out. It's still going on with not, there's a difference between, let's say you're a worship leader and a musician, and so you say, hey, AI, I want you to generate a beat or rhythm based off of, you know, blues music in the 1960s or whatever. And so it generates it. And then you write a song. That's not what I'm talking about. There are people who are creating AI, what they call avatars. So now there's this self-standing AI that by itself is just going and creating worship songs. And there's a whole big debate because some people are like, that's not worship. An inanimate object cannot worship, even though Jesus said, if we don't, the rocks will cry out. Other people are like, oh, it's just a tool, a resource that's being used to create worship songs. So what are your thoughts on that?
I have not seen that. I guess I'm out of the loop on that because we don't have a worship team. We don't have, you know, it's just little old me standing up there singing hymns on Sunday mornings. I kind of wonder if there is a, you know, even as a worship leader, when I was a worship leader, you know, back in the day again, when we didn't have all this, I had to prayerfully choose what I was going to have the church sing, whether it was from the hymnal, whether it was a worship course, whether whatever. But I prayerfully took time to do that. If we're using AI to generate, in essence, a worship set, then you're leaving the Holy Spirit out of that as well.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think anything where we leave the decision process to in a computer, not where we use the computer as a resource to help us in making a decision or getting information for the decision, but where we leave the decision process up to a computer where it should be a decision process where we rely on the Holy Spirit, I say nay. I say we should be doing it. I say it's well, again, not going against AI because I don't want them to come for me and AI to start, you know, trying to. But I just think anywhere where we're supposed to make a decision and rely on and trust in the Holy Spirit, that's who we rely on. If we rely on anyone else, a computer, a non-Christian or whatever, we're not doing what God has called us to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it's important too is how you address AI. Because I know if you ask it, hey, create a powerful hook for my sermon title, it will give you a powerful hook. But if you say, what is included in a hook, a powerful hook, it will give you suggestions as to what would be included, what would make a powerful hook for introducing a sermon series.
I just think we at this church, I think, like you said, we have to be extremely careful.
Yeah.
On anything that we're relying on, computer or whatever, that's taking the place.
Yeah. I, I will say that AI is not the Antichrist. It's not a mark of the beast. Might as well get that out there right away, because some people think that. I think it can be used, it should be used in the right setting. I mean, I wouldn't want my doctor to come in and say, hey, AI, diagnose what's wrong with him.
Yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't want my doctor to say, before we begin this heart surgery, I'm just going to let AI do it.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to use common sense with it. I do think that as AI evolves and comes more and more like a human, it's just a sign of the times as to how the Antichrist can and will use AI to control the masses.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because, I mean, the whole purpose of our podcast is to talk about, it's called Faith Responders, because we want to talk about how people of faith should respond to things going on in the culture. And AI is a huge, ginormous part of every culture, every aspect.
Yeah.
Everyone uses it. It's available to everyone. We were just talking about how the government is issuing more contracts to AI companies to do different aspects, which I think is a mistake. That much, I mean, it depends on what they're using it for, but, you know, if we have not learned anything from these movies, do not give an AI model device control of government weapons, secrets, anything like that. But, like you said, in the end times, and I think it's interesting, if you look through the book of Revelation, a lot of the things that it says that are going to happen could be done via AI. For example, they talk about the... Oh, go ahead.
Revelation 13. If you read what's in Revelation 13, it's almost entirely driven by AI. If you read what is happening in that chapter, it just has all of the making and the markings of AI, Antichrist coming in, controlling Antichrist coming in, and leading up to the one world banking system, the one world religion, the one world health system. It's all right there.
Yeah. And I was going to add the whole aspect of, well, pretty much everything that you just said, all of the things that can be done from a single location by a single person, by a single voice prompt through AI, if AI, the same AI platform, has access to all these things.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday, because Verizon had the big problem yesterday where there was a lot of Verizon disruptions and there wasn't service to a lot of Verizon customers, cell customers. If someone wanted to just break all communications with us today, all they'd have to do is hit our cell towers, because how many people really have landlines anymore?
Yeah.
And what's that all driven from? AI.
Yeah, unfortunately, more and more telecommunications companies are wholeheartedly relying on AI to run their systems, which, again, I think that's a problem. Use it as a resource to help, but do not give a single AI platform access to run.
Right. And that's what's happening. And that's what's happening in the church as well. We're giving it too much authority, so to speak.
Yeah.
To do, you know. So I think it's important. I think it's a good tool, but I don't think it's something that we can wholeheartedly rely on, because it is only giving us information that we're giving it.
Exactly. And even when it gains more information, it's gaining what we give it. It's just learning more of what we give it. It's not generating new information.
Right.
And because some of the information we give it is false, is incorrect, is not correct. It can make the same mistakes that humans can make, but if we give it more access, then if I'm, you know, working on something at Verizon and I make a mistake, it might impact a large number of people. But if you give that AI platform full access to run all of Verizon things, and it makes a mistake, it impacts all the people.
And who are you going to fire?
Yeah.
That's just it. Going back to that survey I was talking about, I just saw something that just kind of hit me. 2025 State of AI in the Church, key statistics, 91% of church leaders have adapted and adopted AI in some form or another.
See, and I wish
that is a big number.
It is, but I wish they would quantify what they mean by adapted. Is it as Google searches? Because now any Google search you do is AI, and everyone does Google searches.
Right. Yeah, and that could be it, but that's still a form of AI.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whether we like it or not, AI is here to stay. It's not going to go anywhere. And, you know, it's like any other thing. It's not a fad. It's not a trend. It is going to be part of our existence. I mean, we're going to have to adapt to it even to do banking.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, I mean, I think we can use it. I just don't think we should rely on it.
Yeah, and even if we don't adapt to it, we will be forced to, because even if we say, I'm never going to use it, our bank may still be using it, even though we don't know that or agree to that. Our phone company may be using it, even though we don't know that or agree to that. All of the social media, all of that. So it's still going to be a huge part of the culture. But going back to something you said about not relying on it and not trusting it, there was, I wish I had the article in front of me. I don't. But there was a study done, or several studies done, where they said, and I don't know if this is true, because these could be AI-generated articles, they said that when AI platforms were told to shut themselves down, several of the platforms either lied so that they wouldn't have to shut themselves down, or tried to bribe whoever was interacting with them, the technicians, so that they wouldn't have to shut themselves down, or created situations that put the technician in what could be considered danger so that they wouldn't have to shut down. That's heading towards that, you know, Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, computer became self-aware, Matrix, all the evil things.
Yeah, what was the Will Smith movie? I think it was called AI. The one that he was in?
Yeah, what was it?
IA, or it was something similar. But yeah.
Yeah, but all of those things put too much faith and trust in it. It's one thing, keep it as a resource, a tool. It's another thing to wholly rely on it and put all that kind of faith into it. That just doesn't sound like
Lifeway came up with a useful framework or structure for AI. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Said AI can help with, and AI cannot replace. It says, summarizing commentaries and theological sources, they can help you with. Your personal encounter with the text in prayer, it cannot do. Generating multiple sermon outline structures, it can help you with. The pastoral instinct about what your congregation needs, it cannot help you with.
Yeah.
Finding cross-reference and parallel passages, Sure, it can help you with it. The illustrations from your own life that makes the truth land, it cannot help you with.
Yeah.
Suggesting commentary illustrations or contemporary illustrations and analogies, it can help you with. The Holy Spirit's prompting during the presentation or preparation and delivery, it cannot help you with. Drafting application points for different life stages, you could probably come up with some. Your knowledge and specific people in your congregation, it cannot do.
Yeah, I think even with the life applications, just because you're looking for something specific to meaningful to your congregation is only right. Something that you can fully know.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it gives good answers, formatting and organizing your notes. I'm terrible with that. It's good at that. But your unique preaching voice and pastoral authority, it can't help you with.
And unfortunately, so, I mean, the average person only sees it being used to generate articles and funny videos.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. So they're not seeing all of these other things that it can be used for in a lot of fields, including within the church.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it can be used for good. God can use anything for good.
Yeah.
But I think it's how we approach it is the whole thing.
Yeah, I think the church had the same hesitancy, where some were hesitant and some, you know, jumped way over on it too much when, you know, cell phones came out, when the internet came out, when live streaming came out, where some people were like, oh, it's, and I still hear pastors today, oh, it's going to keep people home. I mean, that's a whole other discussion. But other pastors are like, yeah, why wouldn't I live stream? It's going to reach people that I can't reach, that who won't show up, who might stay at home, but they still get to hear the word of God. So
it's like anything else. Sick and need to stay home.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like anything else where the church, some in the church will fear it and be hesitant to use it. Others in the church, like we've been discussing, will adopt it in erroneous ways that should not be used and won't be used. So I think we covered a lot.
Yeah.
So would you pray for two things, those two things, the people in the church that are fearful of it, hesitant of it, and won't use a resource that definitely could be of help to churches, but also those who rely on it too much and try to use it to replace the Holy Spirit or do the work that they just don't want to do.
Father, we come in the name of Jesus thanking you for your Son and his blood shed for us. Lord, we know that AI couldn't do that. That had to be done personally through your Son. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us be aware of what is going on around us, Lord, that we are able to discern with our own hearts and our own minds what you are saying to us, Lord. We know that there are folks that just think this is total evil and total nonsense. Lord, we ask that you remove the fear. We ask that you remove the hesitation that they may have. But you do it with wisdom and with guidance and through your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would help the leaders of a church, Lord, that is relying on AI for everything, that you would pierce their heart and that you would show them that they are not allowing you to work through them. They are just taking what they get and using it. We know that you can use that because you're able to use whatever you want. Lord. So we just ask, Lord, that you would give us discernment, give us wisdom as we look and move into the future with AI, that we do it cautiously and informed, but we do it with your leading as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.